standing tonight for the reading of the Word of God, please. Amen. Well, I love the Psalms. I've been prowling through them a little bit. That's where we're at again tonight, right back in Psalm 91. Amen. And seems like I can't get much direction on anything else. Well, I'm going to try to stay with what God gives me the best way I know how. And just try to mind the Lord. Psalms again tonight and chapter number 91, okay? And I'm going to begin reading again tonight for the sake of reading at verse number 1, where the psalmist says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'm not going to preach on this verse tonight. But we were talking about, someone asked me a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned the fact that you'd stand at the white throne judgment and would see your loved ones that are lost and their works judged and them cast into hell. And someone asked me at the end of the service, was there any scripture that actually proves that? Well, I don't think I'm stretching it too far on verse 8. Where the Lord said, "Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Hell is going to be their reward. They worked for it. They labored for it. The wages of sin is death. And they labored for it. They worked for it. And they're going to get their wages. And I believe that verse of Scripture there tells us that. All right, let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the night. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. I pray now you'll bless the Word of God to our hearts, save sinners, help those that are sick and away from us tonight. Give grace and liberty to preach. May the power of God be in our place tonight to work in our hearts and help us, draw us closer unto Thee. I pray for that anointing power of the Spirit of God, that good unction. I pray for liberty, Lord. May a work be done in hearts now as the invitation is given. We pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would breathe upon this place in an unusual way to melt our hearts that are cold, to break our hearts that, Lord, are like stone, and to give us fleshly hearts that you may write the law of God upon it, and we might rejoice in thee for what you've done for us. Bless now, I pray, the preaching to every soul, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, on the thought of God's means of protection. God's ways or God's means of protecting. How does God protect His people? You know, in our Christian life, I'm sure there are many dangers that are very threatening or were very threatening and very near while you and I, as children of God, didn't even realize or were not even apprehensive of them any more than here it speaks of the bird being caught by the fowler. And I'll just say that again. I'm sure that in our Christian life there's been many times that Satan drew near to you and I and would have spoiled us if it had not been for the divine grace of God. But I'm also confident realize that there's many times that the divine providence of God has intervened for us, and you and I probably were even unaware that God was helping us and delivering us in that particular time of need. You know, providence is something that should be studied by every Christian. That's one doctrine that is so misunderstood in the Word of God, and it ought to be studied by every Christian. I mean that to the very depth that you can study it by, is the providence of God. Now, there's numerous times that God has prevented us from falling prey to Satan. And we ought to be thanking Him for that. Many times He has, and we've been unaware of it.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you what I want tonight. I want us to look really at two things in this text. I want us first to look at what it is that we're protected from, and then what it is that protects us. What we're protected from, according to this text, and then in this text, what protects us, what is found here that protects us. I want to say, first of all, and I'm going to try to hurry tonight because of the marathon tomorrow. I'll try to hurry. He protects us from dreadful fear. You know, it said in verse number 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night." It says in verse number 3, "Surely He shall deliver thee." So I'm assuming that He'll deliver us from that terror in the night. That is, from the dreadful fear that sometimes invades our heart and our minds. And you know, fear is something that's real.
Amen.
A lot of people don't understand, don't believe it, but I'm telling you, fear is real.
Right.
There's a lot of people that live all their life afraid to die. They have the fear of death. I remember years ago that Brother Noel and I went down in southern Kentucky, to a funeral down there of a young lady that was a member of a Bible Baptist church. And when we got there, she was standing outside on the porch of the funeral home in tears and refused to go in. She couldn't face death. That was a problem. She told Brother Nolan, she said, "I can't stand." It was her mother. She said, "I can't stand to go in there and look at my mother. She's dead." And Brother Nolan said something encouraging to her. And she said, "Brother Nolan, I can't stand the thought of dying. I'm afraid to die." And you'd be amazed at the number of people there are that live with fear in their heart of one thing or another. People are afraid of getting sickness. And you hear of everybody catching cancer. I mean, today, Miss Hall was telling me of another young lady on her list that's had cancer. And she was years ago, and she was telling me about that. And today people fear having cancer, and they fear sickness, they fear this, and they fear that. But the Bible said there that God will protect us from dreadful fear. He will protect us from terror, or the terror in the night. And we ought to rejoice in that. Church, we have nothing to be afraid of. We are protected by an omnipotent God that knows everything about us and everything that's going on in our life. The fear, perfect love casteth out all fear. And if we love the Lord right, and you know He loves us right, then in order to cast out that fear, and there be nothing in our life that we're afraid of. But there's a lot of people that are afraid. Some are afraid of the unexpected. You know, you and I really, we're certainly unaware of tomorrow and what tomorrow may bring. And you'd be amazed at the people that are afraid of the unexpected. And we don't know what's going to happen in our life. We don't know what's going to happen to us tonight. I know people that went home from church and their homes burned down. I know people that have left the house of God in an automobile accident. I know people that have been on their way to the house of God. Amen. God's been there and done that and got a t-shirt and had an automobile accident on the way to a Sunday morning service. And so, but a lot of people are, they fear that unexpected in their life. They really don't know what's going to happen. They can't look out into the future and they're afraid of that. And we're certainly unaware of what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow may bring sickness. And certainly that's something that people are afraid of. Everybody talking about the swine flu. They're wanting us to take shots for swine flu. Well, I'm not going to take it. They're talking about a couple of people that took the shot and died from the serum. Well, I just soon take my chances with the flu, amen, as I would with the serum. But there's a lot of people that are afraid they're going to catch the swine flu and they're going to die. Well, the only swine I'm going to catch, praise God, is pork chops out of Kroger's meat department up there. Amen. And that's right. And I intend to have a good time when I eat them too. But we don't know. Tomorrow may bring sickness, but tomorrow may bring hell. Now look on the good side of things. Tomorrow may bring poverty. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. There was people there back in the Depression days when the stock market crashed. There were people that were rich that in 1 minute were made poor. They lost everything that they had. And you'd be amazed at the people that committed suicide because they went from riches to poverty. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We may lose it all tomorrow. Now, I'm going to tell you that, hey, that's one reason that we ought to do everything today that we can do for God today. Because I'm telling you, tomorrow may not come. Amen. And the opportunity that we have to do for Christ today may not reveal itself again tomorrow. Therefore, we are to do for God today what we can do today. Tomorrow the evil is sufficient for itself on tomorrow. Let's take care of today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, we may get wealthy tomorrow. Some of you in here may win the lottery. Now, you'd get wealthy, but you'd also get whipped. Spiritually whipped by the preacher. I got a pretty good tongue when it comes to lashing people for playing lotteries and gambling and one thing and another like that. I don't think we ought to visit the casinos either. A lot of people go to the casinos and get hooked on that gambling, and the next thing you know, they throw away every dime they got and every dime somebody else has got. And everybody knows this. There was a young man in our town that got so in debt at the casinos that he killed his aunt trying to get the money to pay his bill that he had at the casino up in Evansville. That's exactly why that lady uptown a few years ago lost her life by her own nephew, is because he got hooked on that gambling. Stay away from that stuff. And our Kentucky legislature is trying to get it in this year. They're going to try to pass that gambling bill. Vote against it. There's no, hey, gambling will take money from the poor. It'll take food from the children. It'll put a wedge between families. It'll bring divorce in the home and poverty to every household that fools with it, whether they're rich or whether they're poor.
Amen.
I know that's exactly right. Amen. Now, listen carefully. Tomorrow may bring disappointments. Tomorrow may bring distress. Some of you, something may happen tomorrow to greatly disappoint you. I understand one young man, they got an automobile. It may be wrapped around a utility pole tomorrow. I hope not. But there are disappointments in life. As many times people have thought they found Mr. or Mrs. Wright, planned on getting married, only to find out that Mr. Wright was Mr. Wrong. And it brought disappointments. There have been people that thought they were going to land a good job, didn't land it. And it brought disappointments. There's people that made great investments of money, thinking they was going to make money and didn't make money. And it brought great disappointments in their life. So tomorrow may bring disappointments, or it may bring distress. And I say it may bring trouble. Tomorrow may bring trials. You may be walking along pretty good today and be in the valley on tomorrow. But I'm telling you, we've got a God that protects us from dreadful fear, from the terror of the night. No, and I'm telling you, when he said terror of the night, he's not talking about some little flimsy, insignificant nothing. He's talking about major problems in our life. Terror in the night. Have you ever been afraid of the night in the night? Buddy, I have. I've laid many a nights in Vietnam in a foxhole with bullets flying over my head And if you don't think that won't bring terror to your heart, you've never been there, friend. Because I'm telling you, it will. It will. But I'm glad that God will deliver us from that terror in the night, that dreadful fear. Now, I'm going to say secondly, the Lord protects us not only from the unexpected, but the Lord will protect us from the uncontrollable. You know, a lot of folks, they worry about what they cannot control. If we can't control something, we get all bent out of joint about it. Us human beings have got that thought that everything about our life, we got to have our hands on it, and we got to be in control of it, and we rob ourselves of great blessings. Rather than letting God control that thing, we try to control it ourselves. And I'm telling you, people are afraid. Hey, I'll put it this way. People are afraid to turn loose of the steering wheel and let God drive. Amen. You and I have both been down the highway and we've seen these bumper stickers. God is my co-pilot. Well, I want to say to you, God's not my co-pilot. God is my pilot. God pilots my ship. He's the one that's got His hands on the steering wheel. There are things in my life that I can't control, but with God at the steering wheel and God at the helm, God can and God will control our lives and deliver us from the fear of the night, from that terrible fear that we have in the night. Amen. I'm talking about those things that happen to us through the providence of God that we have no control over. I thought about a couple of things here. I thought about Mary and Martha. When they got word from someone from another room that Lazarus had died. And there was nothing they could do about that. There was nothing they could do to prevent that. They could not control his life. So you know what they did? Before he died, they sent for the one that they knew had the power over life and death. They sent for the Lord. In fact, both of them, when the Lord came, said, Lord, hadst thou been here, our brother would not have died. At least they had enough sense when they could not control a situation to make sure that they ran to the Lord. Church, I'm going to tell you that's what you and I need to do. All these things that will get in our life, people will get bent out of shape toward us. Our friends will cast us off. There's things we can't control. Hey, we might as well turn that thing over to God and let God control it, take care of it, because we can't take care of it ourselves. Anybody in here tonight, by any chance, would you have a child that's grown up, left home, they're not doing right, and you can't control them anymore? And you're afraid of what's going to happen to them? I'm going to tell you something, parents. You listen to me. You can't control them. That child that is out from and under your home, your roof, and your protection, you can't control. You might give them godly influence. You might try to give them some godly instruction. But you're not going to control their life. They're in control of their life from now on. But I'm telling you, you'd be amazed at the people that are afraid to let that thing go and let God handle it. I'm going to tell you, God can do a whole lot more in getting our loved ones, our rebellious children, back into the house of God or into fellowship with God than what you and I can do on our own. There's a whole lot of people that are afraid. Afraid of the uncontrollable things they can't control. Some of you in here are worried about what your children's going to do when they get grown up and they ain't grown yet. We worry about things that haven't even happened. We worry about things sometimes that don't happen. And most of the things that we worry about in life never happen. That's why Paul said, be careful for nothing. Hey, don't get anxious about anything. Let God take care of everything and don't you get anxious about anything.
Amen.
God will take care of it. Amen. And I'll tell you, God will control your life. Now, I'm real hoarse tonight. I've just been had a bad day, so you bear with me, all right? And that child be on the watch care of our home. I won't say number two, not only does he protect us from dreadful fear, but he protects us from the darts of Satan.
Amen.
Look at verse number 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And that word arrow there is the same thing as a dart. It's just like a dart. And Paul said in Ephesians 6:16, above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Now I'm telling you, God protects us from those darts, from that arrow that flies by the day. There's terror in the night, but there's fiery darts during the daytime. God protects us from both of them. So we have a great God tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Those fiery darts. Now, listen very carefully. Those darts are designed to wound us. And you'd be amazed at the people that are afraid and fear of wounds, and we ought to be. But God can protect us from that. I've talked to people, and there's many of them that have got a legitimate beef that have been wounded in the house of God. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I wouldn't believe that."
Right.
To tell you something, neighbor, when the Lord comes back and the Jews look at him, they're going to say, "Where did you get those wounds in your hands and your back?" He's going to say, "I received them in the house of my friends."
Right.
Now, I'm here to tell you that friends will wound you, buddy. And I'm going to tell you what that arrow is. It is a fiery tongue of indignation that lashes out against people. Now, I'm telling you, you can wound people with that tongue easier than you can anything else that I know of. If there's one thing that we are to strive to control in our life, it is the tongue. The Lord said, or James said, it's a fire. It said it's set on fire of hell. It's something that no man can control. And I'm going to tell you something, who can control it is God. Amen. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, and all this and that. But I'm going to tell you, friend, that those thoughts that come out of the heart also have to cross the tongue. And we'd be better off a lot of times to bite our tongue and keep our mouth shut rather than saying something that we know is going to offend somebody and wound somebody, and a wound that they may never recover from.
Right.
Now, I want to show you something. Somebody said, "Well, if they get wounded, they'll be all right." Is that right? Do you realize that somebody that's wounded in their soul, the devil has accomplished as much by that wound as they would be if they were dead? Somebody said, "How's that, preacher?" Because they're no longer on the battlefield. I know many of boys in Vietnam that weren't killed, but that fiery dart of Charlie got them in such a way that they were off the battlefield. They were still alive, but they could not do one thing in the battle. Now, I'm telling you, you'd be amazed at the people that have stood up and tried to fight against the devil, and rather than letting God protect them and letting God handle that situation, they have been wounded by the fire. Instead of putting on the armor of God, they have been wounded by the fiery darts of the devil. And when they got wounded, I'm going to tell you, they become useless in the house of God.
Amen.
You ever seen anybody like that?
Amen.
I'm talking about just absolutely useless. Can't do a thing for the Lord. They've lost it all. I mean, they may hobble around a little bit. They're not going to get much done. But I'm glad God will protect us from those darts of the Satan, his wounds that he wounds us with. And then those darts his weariness. I see his weariness in those. Somebody say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, his darts are not always wounding. Sometimes, when they only weary us. That is, they hinder us in the battle. I've told you the story of the night we laid on an LZ over in Vietnam. And there was a Charlie out there, a sniper, and about every 5 minutes, pow. We couldn't move. I mean, we'd be a fool to get up and try to move around in that camp at night. Pow. Now, he was shooting darts at us. But he wasn't wounding nobody. He wasn't going to put anybody out of commission. But I'm going to tell you, while those bullets were flying over our heads, we wasn't about to get up. And you wouldn't either if you had half sense. Somebody shooting a live ammo over your head, you're going to keep her down, friend. That's right. I told that boy, Troy Watts, he said, preacher, said, you've been in military and in war. He said, when he's getting ready to go overseas to Afghanistan, he said, tell me something real important about the battle that I know what to do when I get over. I said, I'm going to tell you, Troy Ito. I said, the most important thing I know. He said, what's that? I said, keep your butt down. That's right.
Amen.
Keep her down, buddy. But hey, when I got done calling in that artillery fire on that boy, we didn't hear that pow pow no more. Those fiery darts ceased. But what I'm telling you is that while those fiery darts were being fired, the only thing they were accomplishing, they wearied us. They aggravated us.
Right.
I can remember when that captain came to me and said, hey, Mike, we've got to do something. That guy out there is driving me nuts. He's got to be silenced. I mean, we've got to get rid of him. He's aggravating the life out of me. And I'm going to tell you, we put a stop to it.
Amen.
You'd be amazed.
Amen.
If you would just stop and look at your life, at those little things that just hinder you and aggravate you, those little darts the devil slings at you. You hear something that you think somebody said about you. Only they really didn't say it the way you heard they said it. That's generally the way things go. Generally, people that are talked about, they really don't do everything that somebody tells you they done. You better go to the horse's mouth. And they'll weary you. Those little old darts slinging around, they just weary and aggravate the living life out of us, don't they? Hinder us from really doing service to God. Hear somebody said a little something about us, and we'll come to church and give somebody the cold shoulder. And giving somebody the cold shoulder in the house of God, you know what it does? It throws an iceberg on the service.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that iceberg on the service does? It hinders God from working in our hearts.
Yes,
and you know what happens when God can't work in our hearts? We go home without receiving a thing from the Lord. And you know what happens when we don't receive anything from God? We get more weary in our minds, amen,
yes,
and confused and aggravated and become idle in the service and the work of God when we ought to be at the house of God, pouring out our soul to God and laboring for the Lord in His service.
Yes,
and it all started because somebody said something that wasn't even true. And that little old dart was shooting around, never did touch us. We might have heard a rumor. Have you ever read in the Bible about Sennacherib when he came up against Hezekiah? I believe it was Sennacherib. And said he heard a rumor that Egypt or somebody had invaded his homeland. And he headed off back down to his homeland. And he died there in the house of his God. His own boys killed him. But he went back. He had the battle won. But he went back, turned back because he heard a rumor. Now I'm going to tell you, I know of many Baptists that have quit on God and turned back because they heard a rumor. I'm going to tell you, if you hear something that somebody supposedly said about you, don't take somebody else's word. Go to the horse's mouth and find it out.
Right.
Amen. I had the preacher, Brother Gutman Whitlow, called me one day and said, Brother Hall, said, I was in a meeting down here, South Carolina, and said, Brother so-and-so, man, you know that he's been a good friend of mine a long time, that he's telling every preacher he comes across that you're a hyper-Calvinist. He said, I mean, I've called him twice. He said, once up in North Carolina in a meeting, we was eating breakfast with some men. He said, you know that hall, the hyper-Calvinist. He said, I stopped him right there. And said, brother, said, I know Brother Gary Hall, known him for years. He's not a hyper-Calvinist. Said, he's got some weird ways, but he's not a hyper-Calvinist. And so he was with this same preacher down in South Carolina. He got telling us some more preacher. Whitlow got him again, said, I told you once, buddy, and I'm telling you the second time in front of all these preachers, I know Brother Hall, and he is not a hyper-Calvinist. You know what I done? Brother Whitlow called me and told me about that man. I didn't call somebody else. I called him. Now I said, brother, I understand you've been telling a lot of preachers and people that I'm a hyper-Calvinist. I went right to the horse's mouth. I wasn't going to let a rumor ruin me. I went right to the horse's mouth. I said, did you say such and such about me? And he said, Brother Hall, I'm not going to lie. I said, yes, sir. He said, I said it. I did. I said, what makes you think I'm a hyper-Calvinist? He said, well, it's that word you use. And I said, what? That phrase that you use. I said, boy, what do you mean a phrase I use? He said, I heard you one time say you was a grace preacher. I said, praise God, I do preach on the grace of God. He said, well, that's what Calvinists use. I said, I've never heard anybody else say it. I don't know what Calvinists use. But I said, I'm going to preach grace to our people. For by grace are you saved. Thank God for grace. If it wasn't for grace, some of us in here tonight might be in hell. And if it wasn't for grace, some of us in here tonight would still be at the house lost and without God and on our way to hell. Thank God that God loves unlovely sinners. That's grace, folks. Unmerited, undeserving love that God has given the fallen humanity. Thank God for grace that He has tasted death for every man. Bless His wonderful name for that. Amen. Well, and I said, well, I want to ask you a question. I said, He said, I'm going to tell you something else. He said, I heard it from another preacher. I said, well, who's the other preacher? And he hesitated a minute. I said, if you don't tell me, I'm going to know you're an egg-sucking liar. So he told me. And the other preacher, whoever one of us in here knows, I called him. I said, you say so-and-so to so-and-so about me? He said, Brother Hall, I did. I said, what'd you say that for? He said, I don't know. I said, do you think I'm a hyper-Calvinist? Not really. I said, well, why did you say that? He said, all bunch of us preachers were just talking one day and somebody said something, so I just picked up on it and I said it too. And I said, is that the way you treat everybody? Now, if you want to know who it was at the service, I'll tell you. Brother, you just start rumors? I'm going to tell you something. I could have heard that rumor and run and hid like a little whooped puppy. But I'm going to tell you something. God will protect us from rumors. You mark it down. That vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And God will, ladies and gentlemen, what's the word I'm looking for about His people? Not justify them.
Vindicate.
God will vindicate His people. You can mark that down in your book. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're quite not. I ain't getting very far either. I better hurry. I want to say thirdly, He protects us from darkness. Look at verse number 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. So God protects us from darkness. And that word darkness means things that are obscure, that you can see a little bit of, but you can't see a whole lot of. It's like when it's dusk. It's like that day a few years ago when Brother Steve and I was hunting over at his uncle's place. He was across the power line on one side of the field, and one side of the power line, and I was over in the woods on the other side, and his woods on that side. And it was just getting so dark that I just barely could. I just couldn't hardly see anything. I was up there in that little tree stand. And I put my rifle on my shoulder, you know, and took a round out of the chamber. And let put my rifle on my shoulder and started crawling down that ladder. And about that time, I saw a doe come trotting across that field. And here I am on a ladder with no round in it, and I didn't know what to do. And by the time I got on the ground, she walked by me. She walked within 3 or 4 feet of me. I just about knocked her in the head, you know. But it was so dark that I couldn't see her till she was right on me. And here comes Brother Steve across the field. "Why you kill that doe? Why you kill that doe?" I said, "Man, I couldn't kill that doe. I was climbing down a ladder. I couldn't hardly see that doe." Now, I'm going to tell you there's things out there that are dangerous to you and I that we can only see like looking at things in dust that are obscure to us that God protects you and I from if we'll let Him. Can I give you a couple of good illustrations of that? And I'll hurry along here. I want to say number one, Lot, I think, gives us a real good illustration. Somebody said, "What do you mean?" Lot saw the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, but he failed to see what followed. He failed to see the sin that followed in his life. Oh, it had to be obscure. He had to be able to get a glimpse of it. But he just failed to see it all. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that God will protect us from that. From things that we cannot perfectly see. Things that we cannot perfectly understand. You know things happen in your life that you can just see a little bit of it and you don't understand everything about it. Turn that thing over to God. Don't try to make the trip in your own power. Let God lead you in it. God will protect you from that obscurity. If you'll let Him, you better believe He will. He'll protect you from that darkness. He would have Lot if Lot would have listened to Him. But Lot would not listen. There's things that we just partially see. Then I want to say that He protects us from devastation. Look at verse number 6. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." God protects us from devastation. From devastation. That word, devastation, means to waste. It means just to waste away. To slowly just waste away. God will protect. I'm telling you, look here, church. We're doing that. We all are. It's even got to the preacher. I'm doing my best to fight it the best I can. But I'm telling you that we're wasting away and don't realize it. We're losing the power of God and don't realize it. We're losing the joy that we once had and don't realize it. We're losing the standards we once held and don't realize it. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about just exactly what I said, ladies and gentlemen. That we're wasting away. Devastation. We're being devastated. And we're wasting away. Just like they talked about that wasting disease on them deer. I saw some look pretty rough. They wasted away to nothing. That's what a lot of Baptists are doing today. They're wasting away to nothing. Let's see, where were we at? Somebody was asking me just the other day about somebody. Who was this and who was that? And what happened to this guy or what happened to that guy? I can't remember where we were at. But I'm going to tell you, they slowly wasted away in their Christian life. They used to walk with God. Some of us in here used to walk with God. Some of us in here used to worship God. We'd run these aisles and shout to victory. We didn't come and just sat. We said amen every now and then. Raised our hands in the air every now and then. And worshiped God. Hallelujah. And got into the preaching the best we could. And if the preacher was down and didn't have much, we said amen anyway. But we're wasting away. But God can protect us from that devastation. He'll protect us from it. Being slowly destroyed. Hey, now notice this. Being slowly destroyed. Although we have double light. He said in that verse, nor for the destruction that wasteth when? At noonday. Not when it's dark. Not when it's dusk, but as bright as it was on the day that Paul got gloriously saved on the road to Damascus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God has given us double light. And rather than receive that light and walk in that light, we've turned away from it. And our Christian experience is wasting away from it. We went back to old habits. We went back to old ways. We went back to doing things we said we'd never do. We're dressing the way we said we'd never dress. I'm telling you, we're wasting away. But God will protect us from that. God will protect us from that. Here's another incident of that wasting away. I thought about King Saul. Oh, Saul, hey, slowly, he was being slowly destroyed, although he had double light. Although he had double light. He was reproved several times by Samuel and even his own son, Jonathan. His own son, Jonathan, reproved him. And he wasted away until he was destroyed. Jonathan looked at his daddy and said, "What has David done to you?" He reproved him. Samuel reproved him. Rebuked him. Showed him his wrong. Showed him his error. I'm talking about double light. This man had light two ways. And buddy, you can read to your blue in the face and you'll never find one thing Saul ever did right. Not one thing Saul ever did right. Not one time he ever obeyed God. I'll say that again. Not one time did he ever obey God. Now you can believe about Saul whatever you want to believe. I think he was a lost man. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Told everybody not to fool with them witches, and in the end he went down and asked one for counsel. Couldn't get Samuel. Samuel was gone. Samuel couldn't tell him what to do no more, and he lost contact with God, and he went and seen a witch to try to get counsel. Buddy, if we're not careful, things are not going our way. You know what we'll do? Rather than go to the preacher or go to the house of God or get in that Bible, we'll run off somewhere to somebody, to someplace, trying to look for help in the wrong place, and you won't find it there. Find it where you've always found it, friend.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Right in the house of God, like the psalmist said, I think in Psalm 77. He said, these things were too much for me. He said, I didn't understand them until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord.
Amen.
He said, then I understood them. Amen. When he got in God's house, God gave him some real light. And I'm here to tell you, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to receive light from God and refuse that light and continue walking in darkness. If anybody can reprove me on what I said about Saul, bring your Bible and show me. Not one place did he ever do what God told him to do. He was constantly and consistently disobedient to the Word of God. And I'm telling you, there's no disobedient people going to heaven. And we might make a mistake here, and we might sin here, and we might fall a little bit here. I'm telling you, we're not constantly disobedient to what God tells us to do. No, we're not. Now, let's hurry right along. I want to say number 5, He protects us from death. He said in verse number 3, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Deliver us from death. I believe that snare of the fowler is referring to the temptations of Satan. Oh, I'm telling you, he's got snares for us, folks.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he'll tempt us every way we can to lead us astray. Are you listening? I'll hurry when he gets these other three points on the other part. There ain't much there. But these temptations of Satan. But James said, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, he bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, what's it do? It brings forth death." Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we can be led away. If we can be led totally away from God through the tempting power of the devil, friend, I don't know whether we've ever been to Calvary or not. The Lord resisted him. And that Bible said, resist the Lord and he'll flee from you. Amen. God tells us to resist the devil. Amen. He'll flee from us. There's a whole lot of folks that take that cheese, that take that bait, just like a mouse takes cheese off a mouse trap or peanut butter off a rat trap. Some they'll put their tongue on that temptation and pop, that hammer will come down. Now I'm going to tell you, it'll come down sudden like. Amen. It'll come down in a time when you don't know it's coming. That trap just, wow, buddy, and it's there. Have you ever seen one? I mean, just pop, and that thing is there. I'm going to tell you what. That's the way that snare of the fowler works, ladies and gentlemen. That little old bird knows nothing's wrong, and all of a sudden, that snare is like a mesh wire, and it just flies out there, and then all at once, I pull a little rope, and boom, buddy, that bird is caught. He ain't going anywhere. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, I'm telling you, when we're lured and tempted by the devil, and that lust hath conceived in our heart. When lust hath conceived, you get a hold of that. When lust hath conceived, what's it mean to be conceived? When your lady's going to have a baby, she conceives a child. And that child is, when things are finished, that child is born. And what James is telling us here, when sin is conceived, what is born out of that sin is death. D-A-T-H, death. But oh, I'm glad that we serve a God that went to Calvary and shed His blood, ladies and gentlemen, that through His power that we are protected. We're protected from death. Hey, just like they were protected from death down in Egypt, thank God, the blood of the Lamb will protect you and I from death today as well. Amen. Thank God, yes. Now, I'm about done. He delivers by leadership. Now, how are you going to escape those snares? By following Jesus. Ain't that simple? That's simple. He said in John 27, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Do you think He's going to lead you into a snare? Do you think He's going to lead you into death? Oh, no. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Leadership. We never give a thought really to what leadership's all about. Hey, did you ever play that little old game when you as a kid follow the leader? That leader could take you any place they wanted to take you. I played it before. I'm telling you, we ought to follow Him. He's the leader. Amen. You'd be amazed that if you'll stay on the right path and follow the leader, how much you will avoid, how much you will gain, and how much you will be blessed by the Lord in doing that. So there's leadership. We're delivered by leadership. I won't say we're delivered by light. John 8:12 said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the life. Light of life. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That we're delivered by light. You know what? I was down my neurologist a few months ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since I've been down there. And if I see that fellow again, Brother Chuck, I'm going to ask him. He said, I want you to walk for me. He goes, I'll walk down the wall and come back one thing or another. And he said, well, he said, I noticed you dragged that right foot a little bit. And he said, you're left-handed. And I don't move my left hand to hold my right hand a whole lot. It pretty well stays stable when I'm walking. I don't move. And we got in the room in there, Brother Herford, and he's talking to me. And he said, now I want to ask you something. He said, how do you walk in the dark? I said, sir, let me ask you something. How do you walk in the dark? That's about as asinine as anything I've ever heard of in my life. That's the man how he walks in the dark. Ain't too many people can walk in the dark without bumping into something. I don't care whether you got PD or whether they don't have. When I was well, I couldn't walk in the dark, hallelujah. Not without bumping and ramming everything. But thank God when the light switch is turned on. Yeah, I'm telling you, doctor would ask a man that question, and it's stupid. I said, how do you walk in the dark, bud? I don't take no slack from them. I don't have to. I'm further enough along with the VA, I don't have to put up their junk. And I don't intend to, buddy. Hallelujah. I walked in down there the other day, that urologist, whatever he was, and sat down. He said, sit down, sir. He looked over at me and he said, now I'm coming to see the doctor. And the neurologist sent me down there to the urologist. And he said, now, let me ask him. He said, what can I do for you today? What are you here for? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, what are you doing here? I said, neurology told me to come down here. So I'm here. They asked you. You walked in to see one of them, and they made the appointment, and they say, what can I do for you today? Sometimes I'm going to look at one, and I'm going to say, what do you want me to do to you today? That's crazy. I don't know how I got off on that. Amen. Life. Delivers by life. I won't say delivers by the Lamb. Revelation 12:11 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now, then there's not only the deliverance from the snare of the fowler, but from the noisome pestilence. Hey, this is not temptation of Satan, but this is the terribleness of sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'm telling you, you know what a noisome pestilence is? It's like what happened in Egypt. They call it a murrain. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Some of you scholars might correct me after I get done. But that's what he's talking about here, that pestilence. It's like a noisome murrain. It's just a terrible. It's terrible. It's in light of sin. And I'm telling you, sin is something that is terrible that we don't handle like we ought to handle it anymore. We look at sin like we can play with it and like it won't hurt us or won't bother us, trouble us, but I'm telling you, somewhere down the line, that sin will catch up with us. I don't care who it is, me or you or anybody else. That's right. Now, listen, your sin is deceiving. You say amen to that. Sin is damning. And you say amen to that. Sin is demoralizing. You say amen to that. I read on Fox News where they was all upset. They said, everybody's upset. Said they couldn't find Michael Jackson's nose. And I read on, and he had a fake nose. He'd had so much plastic surgery that his nose was gone. He had to have a nose put on him. Now, this is according to Fox News. And you know he's been frozen for 80 days and they just unfroze him the other day and buried him. They froze him! But I'm going to tell you, all the ice he was frozen in, all the ice in the world couldn't keep the fire of hell from burning in that man's bones. Amen. Couldn't find his nose. I started to say something, but it wouldn't be very good. Where his nose might be. Now, three things and I'm done. What is it that protects us? What is it that protects us? We've seen what we're protected from, or I've tried to point it out the best I can. What time is it, Brother George? Whew, I'm about done. What protects us? First of all, our trust in the Lord. If we do not trust in Him, all else is vain, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't have confidence in God, hey, all else is vain. The just shall live by faith. And we got to believe by faith. We got to trust God and believe that God will protect us from these things. This is where the responsibility of man comes in. God will take care of his responsibility if man will do his part. If you think you can get by with just sitting down on your stool and doing nothing and letting the good times roll by and be a tremendous Christian, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble one of these days. You're going to find it don't work that way. Now, listen carefully. What are you talking about, preacher? The Bible said in verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Under His wings thou shalt trust. under his wings thou shalt trust. My. Can you trust living underneath his wings? Can you trust the Lord that way? Hey, he is our refuge. Under his wings refers to a place to hide. He's our hiding place from the storms and the trials. He's our hiding place from the devil. He's our hiding place from sin. I'm telling you, there is a secret place. There is a secret place with the Most High God. And we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's like being under the covert of God's wings, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? He's our refuge. Psalm 62:8 said, trust in Him occasionally. Trust in Him at all times.
Amen.
When things are good and when things are bad. When it looks like we're going to lose and it looks like we're going to win. Just trust in Him. We go into this marathon tomorrow night and come out with $15,000. What are we going to do? Trust Him.
Amen.
Believe Him.
Yes,
it's God's work. It's God's ministry. Believe Him. Hallelujah. Somebody said, we can't get by on that. God knows that. But God is not bound by the marathon to send money in here.
Right.
Somebody sitting there tonight said, Brother Holt said, what would you do if we went there in the morning, somebody walked in and handed you a cashier check for $100,000? I said, I'd turn the microphones off and go home. Praise God. Wouldn't be much need hanging around with a $100,000 marathon in 30 minutes, would it? If you announced it, you wouldn't get another penny. I know these people. You wouldn't get another penny. If you kept it quiet, you might get some money, but you'd be a liar then. Now, He's our refuge. He's our help. Psalm 115:19 said, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Our trust. Without trusting in Him, without faith in Him, the just shall live by faith. And that's our part of it. He is our wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. He's our wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's got to begin with you and I trusting Him. That's what it says here in the Scripture. Surely He shall deliver thee. Nope, you're wrong. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. He didn't say you might. He said you shall. Hallelujah to God. I'm done. I'm trying to hurry, but I'm slow tonight. I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. Amen. And so lean not to thine own understanding. Somebody said, I don't understand everything that's going on in my life. Don't lean to that understanding. Look to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe God in those times in your life. There's things that have happened to me that I don't understand. I mean, when they first told me I had PD, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. And I tell you, I refuse to believe it. But I learned within a few years that they weren't joking. When my thumb set over at the house and do this number when I try to hold a book or a Bible and read. When I get up sometimes and I'm so weak I can't hardly walk, I realize there's something going on in my muscles. I was sitting there drinking my coffee this morning in my pajamas with Miss Hall. I said, look here, babe. I said, look at my muscle. I said, ain't it growing? She said, it's supposed to be up here, bud. I said, well, praise God, it's down here now. It used to be up there. I said, I don't even know if I got a muscle. I can't even feel one. She said, what you don't lose, you use. What you don't use, you lose. I said, well, praise God, I've used it all I'm going to. My grubbing whole day is about over. Amen. I might, like a bow, hold a 308 or something like that up. That's about it now. Are you listening? Amen. James 5, hey, no, I'm not there yet. He's our wisdom. Then the tenderness of the Lord. That's something that protects us. We always think of God as being rough and tough. What about the tenderness of God? Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. That is talking about something tender, loving, and caring. It's just like that old mother hen. It's like the Lord said in Matthew 24:23-37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thee as thy children, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and you would not? That's talking about tenderness. Have you ever seen an old mother hen and the lightning starts coming down and she's got no place to go? I've seen it, boy. They'll get out in that barnyard. They'll run over up and all watch them. Some of them little chickens, they might be 25 little chicks and 3 or 4 hens out there. But them little chickens, they all look the same to me, and I'm standing there looking at them. But they all run to different mommies. Every one of them knows who their mommy is. They'll run that mommy, and that mommy will just cup them wings down over them. Let that lightning go. Mommy loves them. She's showing some tender loving care. And I'm telling you that God will protect us by His tender love and care toward us. We got the idea somehow. God don't love us anymore. God does love us with an everlasting love. God loves us. Bless His holy name. God loves us when we're good. God loves us when we're bad. God loves us when we're sad. I'm telling you, God loves us when we're sick. And God loves us when we're well. God just loves us tonight. That's His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank God. His tenderness. His tenderness. Now, James 5:11 said, behold, we count them happy which endure. Now I'm going to tell you something. James said, we count them happy which endure. You know what enduring means? Carrying the load, friend. James said, we count them happy that carry the load. And he refers to a man by the name of Job. That Job endured the load God gave him to carry. And Here's what it says about that man. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Oh, Job just kept waiting on God. Waiting on God. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He took everything Job had but his wife. And praise God, He gave him back double of everything that he lost, but his children. And He didn't give his children back because his children that he had that died were already in heaven. So He gave him the same number back. And when he got to heaven, he still had double. You think God ain't of tender mercy toward us? Psalmist said, if it had not been for the mercy of the Lord, Israel may now well say, had it not been for the mercies of the Lord, we'd all be consumed. Thank God, He's tender.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm closing here. Then in verse number 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We're not only protected by our trust in Him and His tenderness toward us, but by the truth. The very truth of the Lord. I don't have time to go over all these and stay with them. But hey, that truth is a shield and a buckler. And that word means truth, means stability. That God is stable. That means certainty. That we can, His truth is certain. If you can't believe in something that's positively certain, that Bible is certain tonight.
Amen.
It's accurate. We can believe in it. We can trust it. It's stable. It'll bring stability to us if we'll live by it. It means to be faithful. If His truth is our shield and buckler, it's stable. Let the fiery darts come. Let the devil charge. Let hell come out against us. Let all the fires of hell lap up out of the pit and come in our direction. But the shield of the Lord will be our protection from the very fires of hell. Thank God I'm glad that I've got a sun and a shield around me. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. It means faithful. He is faithful. It means trustworthy. He's trustworthy. It means to be right. It means to be sure. All those things that word truth means. And the shield means it means to guard us by prickliness. Something gets around us that just reaches out and sticks them. The Bible said in Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Hallelujah. He is a sun and a shield. Then I want to say He's a buckler. That word buckler means something that surrounds a person. You get a hold of that. We're surrounded by God. I remember old Billy Schaffner preached for us years ago at Bible Baptist. Excuse me for running a rabbit track. But he preached out of Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world." He preached down through that. Brother, he got, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." He got to talking about grace. We called him Whispering Bill. He said, "Brother," he said, "I've got grace under me. And brother, I've got grace above me. And brother, I've got grace on the left hand. And brother, I've got grace on the right hand. I've got so much grace around me, the devil can't get to me. Sin can't get to me. If the devil could get to me, he'd be a saved devil. But he ain't a-coming that way. And thank God we're surrounded by the tender mercies of God, by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the power of God." Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad we're surrounded. We got a buckler around us tonight. Amen. That's right. Thank God He's our buckler. The Bible said in Psalm 127:2, and I'm done, "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever." Now, them Armenians say, "Well, you can lose it." Well, that verse tells me He's around us forever. Who's going to get through? Who's going to break through His line of defense? You know anybody or anything that can break through His line of defense? I've been in Vietnam. I've heard them say something to this effect. "Squad 3, platoon 2, left flank, we're being overrun." Charlie be overrun us on that side. I've heard them say something like, "First platoon, squad 1, right flank." And the squad would have to move out from where they were, their position, over to that right flank. But Charlie was coming through. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. We can sit back in our camp. Cross our legs, hallelujah. Drink our coffee and listen to preaching and sing the song design. Have a time in God, because we're surrounded by the buckler, by the Lord Himself, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So the Lord, from this day henceforth, is round about His people. Amen. Now let the Armenians believe what they want to believe. But I'm in, friend. The Lord is my all in all. And according to, I believe David wrote that psalm. You can believe whatever you want to. I believe he wrote it when he numbered the people and the pestilence came upon Israel, by personal belief. When he was an older man. That's what I believe happened in that verse. And God protected him. He saw the angel of the Lord at the threshing floor of, what was his name? No, Onan. Onan, yeah. I was going to say Arnon, but it was Onan. But I'm going to tell them boys of Onan saw that angel, and it scared them to death. David saw it, and he had his sword drawn. Old David prayed, said, "Hey," said, "kill me, Lord." Said, "But these sheep, what have they done? It's me. It's me." And I'm telling you, David in his heart trusted and believed in God. And God ceased the plague. Protected him on that day from the plague. And I'm going to tell you something. God will protect you, friend. If you've truly been to Calvary, I'm telling you right now, God's our protector, our sun and our shield, our buckler, our high tower. You have nothing to worry about. If you've truly repented of your sins and trusted Christ, you're heaven bound. May I say, I hope we get the hammer down. Speed things up a little bit around here. What about it? Are you protected tonight? Are you really protected by Him? Let's stand together.